Derek Warren here with Delane Donaldson of the Effingham County Cultural Center and Museum. Thanks for joining me again today.
Again, it's always a privilege to come up and talk with you, Derek.
Yeah, and you always have something new to talk about, and I always learn something, so I always enjoy these. You've got an interesting topic this time. Tell us about it.
Okay, you know, one of the things that is very important as a grandpa, and a great-grandpa, in fact, now, that I really enjoy watching my grandchildren, have watched them grow up and participate in high school athletics. And I have a granddaughter who is a senior at Effingham High School this year, plays basketball and a host of other things at the high school and sports arena. And so it has always been interesting to me, and we spend a lot of time in gymnasiums, and so yeah. we are going at, you know, here and there and everywhere. Tournaments just finished over the holidays and all that, you know, and so it's been very interesting. Now, looking at girls' athletics is a thing that I think is a very, very important topic that sometimes we kind of lose sight of the fact that there is a history behind everything that exists in the present. Yeah. Now, okay, so in recent weeks, there's been a lot of conversation regarding the fact that back in the early part of the 1970s, that for the first time, it was said, that girls could then play organized basketball against other teams and the like. And there was kind of an impression that I found in some things that were being said was that there were no female athletes prior to 1974, you know, or whatever else here in more recent times. And I thought, well, wait a minute. When I was in high school, I graduated from high school in 1961, we didn't have girls who were winning athletic letters, but there were a lot of girl athletes that I saw you know, who were performing in GAA. It was the organization that, when I was in high school, okay. Girls Athletic Association, it was called. And so I thought, okay. Now, nobody has explored this topic, to my knowledge. We have had some local books that have dealt with boys' athletics, boys' basketball especially. So, you know, and there's a great book called Hoops that is about that, history of boys' basketball in Effingham County. And so when we look at those particular kinds of things, the question for me was, okay, now what happens if we go backward in time in looking at high school signets especially was very, very important for this, but also to look at the old newspapers and see what there was back in the olden days. And I mean really olden days, going back into the 19th century, did girls participate in playing basketball and things like that, baseball, you know, whatever else? And it was very interesting to me, the things that I uncovered. Now, if you remember from your high school history class, or if you took classes in college in history, then you remember the latter part of the 19th century, the 1890s, had a lot of social reform in it. And women were deeply involved in those social reform movements. And they were talking at that particular time about voting, especially. Our local celebrity, Ada Kepley, was very interested in women's suffrage movement. And there were other things like that. You know, it was how do women deal with finances? Are there restrictions placed upon them? What about in terms of education? Are there certain kinds of studies that they cannot pursue, that they would like to pursue? Ada Kepley was an example of that. For instance, when she wanted to become a lawyer in 1870, it was against the law for her to be a lawyer, although she got a degree in law. And then, you know, just legal rights and all kinds of things related to the general society, and there were reform movements that took place. Now, when I realized that and women becoming very active in a lot of different kinds of aspects of our society, then what about athletics? Well, I began to click on athletics and do a word search for the old newspapers in Effingham County about athletics and to see what there was. Would there be anything there that would talk about girls' athletics in Effingham County? And sure enough, I found those back in the 1890s. Now, wow. 1890s, when I looked at that topic, it was the fact that there was just this broad perception of athletics, excuse my voice this morning, very broad perception of athletics that involved a whole lot more than the kinds of sports that we would have today. And so women's athletics was involved with just any kind of physical sport ping pong, for instance, you know, and things like that we would not normally classify in the same category as these other competitive sports. But certainly we see that in organized sports around the world in the present. And so if we go back to the 1890s, I think it's very interesting. 1895, I found a newspaper article that dealt with Effingham, the town proper, and the fact that the Girls Athletic Association, it said, was participating in some kind of entertainment. And what that was that there was a gathering of the community, and the girls who were deeply were interested in athletics presented recitations and presented, I think they probably had some food available. But it was a fundraiser because they wanted to have money that could be spent upon athletic things in the school that girls could utilize, sports equipment, you know, that sort of thing. And so they were pushing for that. Now, if they were buying sports equipment, that meant that they were participating in sports, all right, some way or another. And then right after that, I began to read, you know, on. And so the next year, in 96, there was a report about the Girls Athletic Association, again, very actively pursuing, raising some money because they wanted more goods for their athletic uses within the schools, just strictly for the girls. This was not to deal with the boys, because the boys always had that funding that was coming through the school system itself.
Right.
And so the girls were trying to do everything that they could, it said, to make sure that they were really developing their physical nature, that is, their athletic abilities, to the fullest extent. So girl athletes were there. They were really wanting to participate. And so the question was, now, how do we go about doing that? Now, as this was taking place, 1890s, if you remember your sports history, there was a man named James Naismith who invented the game called basketball.
It was around the same time.
You're looking at the same time period. Now, the question then that came to my mind was, okay, now, if in this time period, when there's a Girls Athletic Association inside Effingham County, and this wasn't just at Effingham High School, this was at Altamont High School, this was at Beecher City High School, et cetera, that these athletic associations came into existence and basketball became popular, what happened locally, or what was happening in the state of Illinois about the basketball game and girls' participation in that? Well, what did I find on that one? I found that in 1895, Illinois, in Chicago in particular, there's a high school called Austin High School in Chicago, they had organized a girls' basketball team. Now, there was no one for them to play against, so it was just inside the school, you know, that they were playing basketball. But girls were very interested in basketball, in other words. And then the very next year, I found newspapers from old Illinois newspapers that witnessed the first basketball game between two Illinois high schools. Again, it was in Chicago.
Okay.
However, in the next several years' time, within a decade, between 1895 and 1905, or 1906, there were over 300 high schools in Illinois that had girls' basketball teams.
Wow.
That stunned me when I saw that.
Yeah, that's an explosion.
It is an explosion. That, you know, there was this deep, deep interest that was there because people were saying, hey, we want to play this sport. There were girls in Effingham, Illinois, and Beecher City, and Diedrich, and, you know, wherever. They were all saying the same thing, and that is, we want to participate in this. We want to get involved with this, and we want to have our own sports teams, and we want to be able to compete just like the boys are competing. Now, keep in mind, this is prior to women getting the right to vote and all of that, so there are a lot of restrictions that are placed upon women within our society in that particular time period. So there was a question about, well, we want the girls, yes, to have good physical health and participate in activities that will make them strong physically and healthy physically. But there were kind of social restrictions that were out there because there was a fear, the newspapers described, that the girls would become too much like their counterparts of the opposite sex, and that they didn't like that competitive spirit that was necessary for sports, and they wanted the girls to be non-competitive. I'm not really certain how you do that in playing basketball.
It seems counterproductive what they're trying to say.
It does. You know, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me as I was reading this. But they began to fight against this in the state of Illinois within the educational institution. And so they began to say, we don't want girls to participate in the same fashion that boys do. They can play the game of basketball, but we don't want them to be really aggressive. We don't want them to really be fighting hard to beat the other team. You know, just a friendly game, in other words. You know, don't be competitive.
No, not overly competitive.
Overly competitive, yeah. And so, you know, that
was a fine line they're trying to tread there.
And I thought, well, this is kind of crazy, because if you're going to put people in an athletic sport, there has to be a competitive spirit that is there in order to make the game interesting for people to watch.
Make it authentic, yeah.
Yeah. What kind of crowd will you gather? Well, now, then the Illinois State High School Association, which existed in this time period, 1907, the Illinois State High School Association passed a, I guess it would be called a law or a resolution or a rule, maybe it was the best word to use for that, in which they said that they would bar girls at schools under their jurisdiction from competing against teams from other schools in basketball, particularly. They named basketball. So they did not want girls to play basketball games against other schools. And so with that, there was this reaction on the part of the girls who were really athletic and they were really wanting to compete. And so in Springfield, one high school newspaper, in an insert for their high school newspaper, took out a full page in memoriam saying that girls basketball died in the year of our Lord, 1908. And they thought that was the end of it. So the girls really depressed at this point,
yeah,
because they're saying, it looks like they're not going to let us play against each other. We're not going to have organized basketball like the boys do, and we want that to happen. And so there's kind of a still period. Now, in this still period, though, the girls can compete inside their own high school, intramural sports.
So like varsity versus JV, something like that.
That type of thing. But the way it was set up, Derek, was that what they would do is they would have a freshman team, a sophomore team, a junior team, a senior team.
Okay.
Now, back in that time period, there were still a lot of two-year high schools, there were three-year high schools, and there were four-year high schools.
Okay.
So not everybody could have four teams in their school. Some of them could only have two, freshman and sophomore.
Yeah.
Some could have three, because there were three. Montrose had a three-year high school, as a for instance. And so Moccasin had a two-year high school. You know, that there were these kinds of things that existed out there. And so there could be teams that could participate. I'm not certain that all of them had. You know, the two-year high schools did that, but some probably did. And so they began to work toward then, how do we get this thing rolling? Well, the University of Illinois then came into play here, because the University of Illinois was wanting to encourage female participation in high school athletics. And so in 1914, University of Illinois, for the very first time in their summer session up at Champaign-Urbana, they introduced a course in athletic coaching. They had never done that before. And they wanted to encourage women to enroll in their courses, as well as men enrolling in the courses, so that women could go out into the schools and they would know how to coach the girls that were there. Now, it's interesting that they were doing that, and it's in this regard, because there were also great debates about what kind of uniforms do girls wear. Okay, now the 1890s, remember, this is with the long skirts that are dragging on the ground, you know, and all that. So the girls were, and this is also the era of bloomers. So then it was decided that girls, if they the preference was that they wear full skirts, but that they could have bloomers also as part of their garb. And then eventually the skirts could be discarded as an exterior bloomer, then could be used, and they could dress in that fashion. there were no manufacturing companies that were producing uniforms for girls, so these uniforms had to be made by their mothers.
Wow.
And so the mothers got involved. And so, for instance, an Altamont yearbook said that, referring to the girls' teams, that the mothers had created what they call middies. Now, I'm not a specialist. I know very little female garb. I don't know. I'm guessing that's just kind of like something that was, a long blouse type thing. And so anyhow, that type thing was there. And then there was the debate over who can come and watch the girls play. And so some schools said only their mothers can come to watch the competition. Fathers are not permitted.
Wow.
Now, that was not in Effingham County, I found that, but it was in other places around the state. And there was this big debate over the nature of the uniforms that could be worn because a dress code that was on the streets out here that they wanted to maintain when they were going into the gymnasiums as well. So, in looking at old high school yearbooks, I went back to the teens in Effingham High School yearbooks, and we have some of those at the museum. And I've had some at my home for a long time that I collected when I was a teacher. And so, some of these old yearbooks, 1918, the yearbook said, for the very first time, we have the privilege of having a gymnasium. Now, the original Effingham High School was called Central School, and it was demolished many decades ago now. Where it stood is right across the street from the current Masonic Lodge and where the First Baptist parking lot is. Okay, that was Central School right there.
Okay.
Now, as originally built, it did not have a gymnasium. That was added later on. But what happened was that then the unit found a place that they could rent. It was a hall that they could rent locally, and they could take their PE classes, and they could have the PE classes because the hall was very close to where the school was located, and they could have phys ed. PE was, for the very first time, given as a credit class, and so came into existence, and that was kind of all part of the scene. Now, in 1918 also, very interesting for Effingham High School, was the fact that there was a young woman who was hired. Christy Dark was her name. She had taught a couple of years elsewhere, but Effingham was wanting coaches for their girls' PE classes, physical training classes is what they were called. And so in those, they would have a variety of things, probably doing the same kinds of things that I know that when I was in high school we had, because in PE we did calisthenics, we did running, we had folk dancing, we had a whole bunch of different kinds of things, okay.
The headline dancing.
All that kind of thing, okay. So it was this sort of thing that this Christy Dark taught, and she was a very popular teacher and just really well-liked by the girls and encouraged by the girls because she wanted them to be active in their athletic careers. And then 1918, the flu was a plague in America. For a couple of years there, 1918, 1919. And Miss Dark got the flu and she died. Now, that was really crushing to the girls because they had someone who was a real good mentor for them. But she was gone. And then at that point, the high school principal took over, and he then proceeded with dividing the girls into teams on the basis of the year in school, so freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. And he had a very active league that they participated in intramural sports. You know, when I was in high school, we had intramural sports. I don't know. I don't know if we even talk in terms of those things anymore. I'm not certain, it just kind of disappeared. It stayed around for many, many years, but then it just kind of disappeared. Now, in these classes then, they were able to participate in a fashion that allowed them to really be fine athletes and demonstrate that to everybody else around about them. Now, as they're doing all of these things, then the girls' athletics kind of suffered a emotional down, psychologically. They'd lost this popular younger teacher. She was only 25 years old, and she was a good model for them and all that, and she was gone. And then the whole thing was that something had to be happening on a larger scale than just locally. So in 1920, in the middle of the summer, in June of 1920, there was the Girls Athletic Association at the state level was formed in Bloomington.
All right, okay. Yeah, the first big step.
Big step, okay. So you have a Girls Athletic Association in Bloomington, and in that, they were going to try to work with the University of Illinois, and then the other schools were called normal schools. And what that meant was that they primarily were teacher training institutions, like Eastern was a normal school, okay? And by norm, and Illinois State was a normal school, okay? That's why the name Normal there is with Bloomington Normal, you know, the community grew up, because they had a college that was a teacher training institute. And so as they were doing, as they were getting their thoughts together and they were trying to say, we need to really develop this Girls Athletic Association to the full, then there was a lot of question about how are we going to do this? Who's going to accomplish all this? And girls just stepped up. And the thing that's very interesting to me is when I look at these local teams, you know, whether it's Effingham or Altamont or Beecher, that as I looked at these local teams, a lot of the names are familiar names right up to the present, families that have been here forever, you know. So they're in your own family history, if you have a family that has lived in Effingham County for a long time, then you might have some of those people who were the athletic leaders, female athletic leaders from that earlier time period. Now, in all of that, as they're moving, you know, through space and time here, they really began to want to compete with other teams. And so there was a rule that was established in the Illinois athletic competition for girls, the Girls Athletic Association, that said that they could have what were called play days. And that was they could invite other schools to come to their school for a day. Most of the time it was a half a day or a little bit beyond a half a day. And they would be involved in all kinds of physical competitions, basketball being one of those things. Okay. Or if it was a springtime thing, it would be playing softball. Or it could be other kinds of things that were, you know, just sports that could be conducted outside. So they had indoor sports, they had outdoor sports that were involved in this. Now, when they did that, then they invited people from the area. So, for instance, when I was looking at the different kinds of things that were taking place, Beecher City, in an article I found about them, said that they had basketball, tumbling, baseball, folk dancing, volleyball, ping pong, deck tennis, and hiking as part of their quite a list there. And so when Beecher traveled to Shelbyville, for instance, in one instance for a play day up at Shelbyville, they competed against Pena and Nokomis and Cowden. And then when Beecher City traveled to Pena on another occasion, Pena was there, Assumption was there, Nokomis was there, Shelbyville was there, Oconee was there, Roseman was there. Teutopolis hosted a play day in the 1930s. They invited Effingham to come, Shelbyville to come, Neoga to come, Beecher City to come. So you see, this is the evolution then of this whole thing that we have at the present. And that is that what was evolving was the girls wanted to compete against other schools, not just play intramural. But the only way that they could do that was through the Girls Athletic Association, because the larger Illinois High School Association was kind of divorcing itself initially from this. And so they competed against these other schools, and they loved it. And they decided that they wanted to do more and more and more of that. And so then the GAA continued for many years in all of these area schools and throughout the state of Illinois. The statewide GAA continued to say, we want to get girls involved in athletics and gymnastics and basketball and softball, baseball, whatever you're going to call it. That all these athletic sports, we could get the girls involved. And all of that was established and pretty firmly in place. So when I was thinking back, you know, when I went to some activities this within the last several weeks, where they were praising the fact that for the first I heard one fellow say, for the very first time we had girl athletes. No, the athletes have been around for a long time. Yeah. It was just the fact that the organization was not there. And so the girls were participating and they were demonstrating strong athletic skills from the 1890s on. And sometimes the social rules, rules of society, said, well, we're not going to let you wear the uniforms that will give you freedom to move. We're not going to let your dads come. No males in the audience. Wow. So those kind of things. And that evolved to the 1970s when all of a sudden it was, hey, we have girl athletes who are really fine physical examples of what can be done with the human body, and we need to let these girls participate in athletics, and hence the present. But yeah, it's a long story, but an interesting story, I thought, you know, when I began to explore this.
Yeah, it's amazing how long they went through that process of basically one hand tied behind their back.
Yeah.
Like they were so restricted on everything, including who could view their
Yeah. Games. Yeah, that amazed me, you know, because, there was one school, Grayville, I think it was, that I found an article about Grayville where the girls had worn their bloomer outfits at the Grayville High School, and there was an emergency meeting of the school board, and they said from this day forward there will be no female participation in athletics if they are public involvement with athletics where the girls are wearing bloomers. They have to wear the full skirts, otherwise nothing out there on the floor. They cannot participate, you know. So
restrictive early on, but then just like everything else, the time changes things. And the women activists change things. They're the first ones on the front lines.
They did indeed, and you know, and the thing that is very, very interesting to me is that the changes that were happening inside the big cities were also taking place in the little towns.
Yeah,
this was a not a statewide movement. It was a national movement that was taking place, and it moved forward early on. If you lived in Effingham County in 1904, you would have said women's athletes are a very firm fixture within this community, and that we're going to see a lot of girls athletes coming out of all this involvement today. And then all of a sudden, it all died. You know, and then it had to come back to life, or I shouldn't say it died. In fact, there's one of those things that one person had written about, kind of like Mark Twain. You know, the news of my death has been greatly exaggerated. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was a resuscitation, I guess, that took place rather than bringing back something from the dead, but it just kind of had to be resuscitated.
Yeah, boy, it's really amazing how they go through all this stuff throughout history. And you say it didn't just happen in the big cities, it happened in small towns, too.
Right.
Was there like a time difference as far as when it started and then spread out to the smaller towns?
No, this is all pretty simultaneous.
Okay.
Yeah.
That I didn't know with like the technology wasn't there. You didn't have it was just mouth to mouth and then newspapers and stuff like that. So.
What you had was, for instance, when Austin High School in Chicago, you know, printed this thing about the death of girls athletics, that went from Chicago newspapers to Springfield newspapers to the big cities. Immediately the local presses picked all those stories up and printed them.
All right, yeah. It's amazing. People put their heads together and then start making changes like that.
Yeah.
It can happen anywhere.
Exactly.